If you'll take your Bibles this morning and turn to Psalm 44, Psalm 44, and stand with me if you're able. If it's possible for you to, right? For the reading of God's Word. But while you're turning there and all and getting ready, we are looking at America, the dreamland of the world. America is a dreamland of the world, and because it is such a dreamland, we have one of our biggest problems as a nation is stopping the flow of people coming in illegally, and because everybody wants to be here, right? So as we celebrate America's birthday, every American should be grateful and blessed that we can call ourselves Americans, right? I was told just recently in a class I had that I'm racist because I won the lottery and was born white. I said I didn't have a choice of what color I was born. I didn't have a choice of what nation I was born in. God directed all of that, and I'm going to just be thankful that He made me what He made me. But I believe wholeheartedly that everybody else was made by God as well. He created them, and that they are human beings just like everybody else and should be treated as such. But at this special time in our history as a nation, our nation's birthday, as we look at this, we need to look at the good and the bad that we face as a nation. So we're going to look at America's previous history, and when we think of this great country that God has given us, we cannot help but think of what the psalmist wrote in Psalm 44, verses 1 through 3, when he says, "We have heard with our ears, O God, our fathers have told us what work thou didst in their days, in the times of old, how thou didst drive out the heathen with thy hand and plantest them, how thou didst afflict the people and cast them out. For they got not the land in possession by their own sword, neither did their own arm save them, but thy right hand and thine arm and the light of thy countenance, because thou hadst a favor unto them." Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this nation. We thank you for this opportunity today to preach this message that you've given to me. Father, I pray that it will go out and it will touch our hearts. I pray that we would realize that we are only what we are because of you. And we shouldn't try to take credit for anything because we could not do anything of our own. And I pray, Father, we would look at the good and the bad and determine that we want to be part of making it better. And I just thank you for what you're going to accomplish. Give me the words to preach. Give me the boldness to proclaim them. And I pray, Father, that you would give me the freedom of movement. And we thank you for what you're going to accomplish this morning. And we will not fail to give you all the praise, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Notice that in these verses, the psalmist over and over again said, what God did. What God did. Yeah, notice he said, our fathers have told us what work thou didst in their days in the times of old. Over and over and over, what God did. We can see here what he said. In other words, God, we were not around. We were not around. I don't know about you, but when God parted the Red Sea, I was not here. Okay? I know some of you think that I might have been, but I haven't. I wasn't. I'm just telling you, didn't happen. There's some things that he's saying. We were not there when this happened, but we've been told. What is our duty? Anybody know what our duty is? It's to pass on to the next generation what God's done and continues to do. And so we need to do that. He says, when you sent plagues to deliver your people from the bondage of Pharaoh, when you led the people by a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, when you opened the Red Sea for the people to walk across on dry ground, when you fed the people with manna from heaven, when you gave your people victory after victory over their enemies. Notice he said God gave the victory. Yeah. See, we have a problem here in our United States of America. We think we've done it all. It's a big problem. He said, we were not around, but our fathers have told us what work thou didst in the days, in the times of old. See, we have a problem today. We don't want to keep passing on to the next generation what God's done. And then what happens? We see the next generation falling away, and the next generation falling away, and the next generation falling away. And we wonder why our churches aren't packed out. Who's been the example? Who's passing it on to the next generation? I know I've shared here before, but we had a friend of ours one time in church, and she said, I know I should be faithful. I know I should be in church. I know I should be doing this because I'm fearful what God might do to my children and my grandchildren to get my attention. I know what I'm supposed to be doing, but I'm not going to. That's the attitude of a lot of people. I know what God's word says, I'm just not going to follow it. We have a problem in our world today. David is saying, Lord, the nation of Israel has become the greatest nation that ever existed on the face of the earth, not because what we have done. He realized it wasn't anything they had done. It was all because of God and what He has done, because God made it a great nation. See, we forgot that. Here in the United States of America, we forgot that God made this a great nation. Without a doubt, when you compare the nation of Israel to the other nations that ever existed, that the nation of Israel stands out head and shoulders above the rest. And it's because of what God has done. Not because of what they did, but what God did. How God blessed this nation. No other nation in the world can make the claims this great nation can make about God's miraculous, how He miraculously took care of them over and over and over again. People say, well, but, you know, they made some mistakes. Yes, and they paid the price for it. And let me just say, we as a nation have learned nothing from the mistakes that they made. In spite of all their claims, the only reason that they can boast it is because God richly blessed them. What about America, though? I want to look at the fact of America's great history. Thank God for our great history. Thank God that He brought this nation together and that it was formed based on biblical principles. And I don't care what anybody tells you, that is the truth. Today, America is the superpower of the world, but only because what God has done. By the way, let me just say also, we're losing that. Yeah. We're losing that. But we only have it because God has blessed our nation. He has given us godly leaders in the past. To see that, all you have to do is study history. God has written all over the pages of history. He has given us some of the smartest men and women to lead this nation, also in the past. When it comes to technology, we've been a leader. Been one of those things. When it comes to medicine, people from all over the world have come to the United States of America. Look at where we are. When it comes to our universities, people from all over the world come to the United States of America to attend our universities. When it comes to beauty, there are some of the most beautiful places in the world in our United States of America. And it's all because of God. God has given us some of the richest land to raise our crops. Let me just say this. as I live out on the plains where there used to be all kinds of farmland going up, now there's house after house after house. What are we doing with our farmland? He has given us some of the best weather for our crops to nourish. He has blessed us with rain time and time and time again to water our crops. And while we are setting off our fireworks, and while we are throwing our parties, and while we're having a great time, let's not forget to look up and thank God for what He has done, because He's blessed us in great ways, and we only have these things because of Him. If it were not for the blessings of God on this nation, we would be another chapter in the history books, like all other nations who have come on the scene and gone before. Ones that no longer exist today. I had a great conversation with someone the other day, and we were talking about biblical things, of course. Everything always has to go to biblical things, you know. And so I said, our nation's going downhill fast, and it's because we forgot God. We've left God out of everything. We've decided God doesn't matter anymore. And the comment came back, it's because we are listening to people who are on the far left and on the far right and no longer listening to people in the middle. I said, it's because we forgot God. I'm just laying it out there. We forgot God. And I'm not just blaming the lost people. They don't know who He is. I'm blaming us. God has given us victory after victory over our enemies. Victory after victory after victory of our enemies. The Revolutionary War, we seemingly had no chance whatsoever. God gave us the victory. We had the French War, again, no chance. God gave us the victory. Then we had World War I and World War II, and God gave us the victory. We have looked at the fact of America's great history, but now let us look at the force of America's great history. Turn back to Psalm 44 and look at verses 4 through 7. I said, Lord, be merciful unto me, heal my soul, for I have sinned against thee. Mine enemies speak evil of me, when shall he die, and his name perish? And if he come to see me, he speaketh vanity. His heart gathereth iniquity to itself. When he goeth abroad, he telleth it. All that hate me whisper together against me. Against me do they devise my hurt. They hated us. They hated us. He says, they hated us. Oops, I read the wrong verses. I thought that sounded weird. Sorry. Try that again, verses 4 through 7 of Psalm 44, not 41. Thou art my king, O God, command deliverances for Jacob. Through thee will we push down our enemies. Through thy name will we tread them under the rise up, under that rise up against us. For I will not trust in my bow, neither shall my sword save me. But thou hast saved us from our enemies, and hast put them to shame that hated us. In these four verses, David tells us some things over and over again. What God had done to make them a great nation. He had done some great things. In verse 4, he gives God the credit for their deliverance. We don't give God credit for deliverance anymore, do we? Verse 5, through thee will we push down our enemies. Verse 6, he said he was not trusting in their weapons, but in the God he served. People say, well, we had the greatest military power because we had the most artillery, right? No, we had the greatest military power because God was with us. Verse 7, it is God that has given them the victory and put their enemies to shame. Instead of saying, look at what we have done, we need to say, look at what God has done. Today, because God has so richly blessed us, we should boast of the God who has blessed us. It should disturb us greatly today that we talk about being a superpower while we forget about talking about the superpower. Because God had done all these things for them as a nation. Look at verse 8. He says, in God we boast all the day long and praise thy name forever, Selah. There's not a nation in this world today that can match America and her military strength alone. But they will. They will. But we must not forget that we are strong because God made us strong, not because we made us strong. We once had godly leaders that believed in Almighty God. They believed in Almighty God. They believed that God's word was important. They believed that the church that Christ died for was important. And they believed Christ, who died for the sins of mankind, was necessary. They believed those things. And today, we have leaders that act like they are God instead of recognizing the one and only true God. We had such leaders back then that God poured his blessings out on the nation in abundance. Our godly forefathers crossed the ocean to find freedom to worship God. Hear what I said? Not freedom from worship, but freedom to worship. Today we want to call it freedom from worship. No. They came here seeking the ability, the freedoms, so they could worship God. On the Mayflower, 41 men signed a document implementing the first government in America. They wrote in this document, and I quote, "We, whose names are underwritten, the loyal subjects of our dread sovereign Lord, King James, by the grace of God, of Great Britain, France, and Ireland, defender of the faith, having undertaken for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith, a voyage to plant the first colony in the northern parts of Virginia, do by these presents solemnly and mutually in the presence of God and one of another, covenant and combine ourselves together into a civil body politic." God's name is written all over the history pages of America. All over. And I don't care if you get somebody elected as president of the United States that stands before people and says we are no longer a godly nation, or will tell you we never were a godly nation. This nation was founded on the principles of God. And it needs to stay there. We recognize that the blessings of this great nation came from God. Where would we have been had God not been with us as a nation? I would say we would have ceased to exist a long time ago. God blessed us with the great nation, with our godly forefathers. It should disturb us greatly that today we are filling Congress, the Senate, and the White House in Washington, D.C. with men and women whose lives seem to indicate that God has no part in their lives. I'm not afraid to say that, because it's obvious. The reason it should disturb us as a nation is because if we recognize these blessings came because of godly leaders, how long can we continue without godly leaders? God has highly exalted America, land of the free and home of the brave. So we've looked at America's previous history, but I also want to look at America's present helplessness. When Israel was faithfully serving the Lord, God greatly blessed Israel. When Israel rejected God, bad things happened to them. Pretty simple, right? He's going to bless obedience. He's going to correct disobedience. It's what he tells us to do as parents, right? The answer is a resounding big yes. That's what he tells us to do. Why would he do any different? So David talks about that. For example, he talks about their shame. Look at verses in Psalm 44, starting in verse 9. It says, "But thou hast cast off and put us to shame, and goest not forth with our armies. Thou makest us to turn back from the enemy, and they which hate us spoil for themselves. Thou hast given us like sheep appointed for meat, and hast scattered us among the heathen. Thou sellest thy people for naught, and dost not increase thy wealth by their price. Thou makest us a reproach to our neighbors, a scorn and a derision to them that are round about us. Thou makest us a byword among the heathen, a shaking of the head among the people." So David talks about how shameful it was. How shameful it was to be this great nation of Israel that God had so richly blessed. But because of their disobedience, they became prisoners and slaves of their enemies. That should be a wake-up call for us. Because of their disobedience, they became slaves and prisoners of their enemies. What a shame that must have been for this great nation. Today, America, like Israel, has suffered shame because of our disobedience to God's word. Over and over and over. In the 60s, great shame was brought during the Vietnam War. We should have been able to go in there and take that over in no time at all. Didn't happen. What a shame. In the past, God had given us great victories. And all of a sudden, not so much. It was not only a shameful defeat, but when our brave men and women came home, they were spit upon. They were looked at as outcasts. They were doing what they were called up to do. Not because they necessarily wanted to, but because they had to, and we treated them with disrespect. It was shameful. Many people who were called up flew the nation so they wouldn't have to go to war. Then during the same war, one of our movie actresses, and I'm not ashamed to call her out by name, Jane Fonda, went on the enemy side, sat in a tank, pointed at our own men and women out there. How shameful. How shameful. It was on every newspaper and magazine around the world. Then in the 90s, our president in the White House had brought shame had never before brought to the White House. It was shameful. Placed our nation in shame around the world, and even today he has a smirk on his face and refuses to apologize. And it's shameful. Today it's shame in this country that we now have to fill our public schools with policemen, because these institutions are filled with rebellion, drug addicts, drug peddlers, and promiscuity, and it's a shame. Where you once went to school, and I remember, and I'm not that old for those of you who don't think differently, we used to stand up in class and pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, one nation under God. Today, I'm not even sure they have a flag in the classroom. And it's a shame. Because of disobedience, Israel and America have suffered shame. We have looked at their shame and our shame, but we also need to look at their sufferings. Their sufferings. Look at verses 15 through 22 of Psalm 44.
says, "My confusion is continually before me, and the shame of my face hath covered me. For the voice of him that reproacheth and blasphemeth by reason of the enemy and avenger, all this has come upon us. Yet have we not forgotten thee, neither have we dealt falsely in thy covenant. Our heart is not turned back, neither have our steps declined from thy way. Though thou hast sore broken us in the place of dragons, and covered us with the shadow of death, if we have forgotten the name of our God, or stretched out our hands to a strange God, shall not God search this out? For he knoweth the secrets of the heart. Yea, for thy sake are we killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter."
So I already said, when the nation of Israel obeyed God, God blessed them. That's what God does. But when they disobeyed, they suffered greatly because of their disobedience. What makes us think that we're any different? Well, because God loves us, right? God is love. God didn't love them. Trust me, God loves the nation of Israel. A good example of that is when they fought in Jericho. God knocked down the walls, right? But when they were disobedient and they moved on to the city of Ai, and they thought, this is a cakewalk, right? We'll just take a few soldiers up there and we'll just wipe this out, right? Yeah, they got their tail beat big time. Big time. Joshua was angry with God at the default, at this defeat, and he soon discovered that sin in the camp was the reason for the defeat. Sin in the camp. Have we looked around? I think there's some sin in the camp. I think there's quite a bit of sin in the camp. Let's not just say some, okay? Every time they would obey God, he would bless them. But when they disobeyed, they suffered great defeat. We in this nation today are suffering defeat. For example, we're suffering from the corrupt judges that are sitting on the benches in courts in this land today. We are suffering from politicians that are continually taking our money from us through this tax system that we have. We suffer from school boards that promote everything but education. Because of our disobedience, we are suffering as a nation. What has brought about this shame and suffering? Tell you, it's one thing. One thing is the reason. Our sin. Our sin. Look at, keep in Psalm 44, but turn to Proverbs 14:34. Proverbs 14 and verse 34. Says, "Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people." Any people. So now we've looked at America's previous history and America's present helplessness, but look at America's powerful hope. Look at verses 23 through 26 of Psalm 44. "Awake while sleepeth..." Excuse me. "Awake, why sleepest thou, O Lord? Arise, cast us not off forever. Wherefore hidest thou thy face, and forgettest our affliction and our oppression? For our soul is bowed down to the dust, our belly cleaveth unto the earth. Arise for our help, and redeem us for thy mercy's sake." We must return. We must return. Every single day, my wife and I pray for our nation, that our leaders would all get saved, would lead our nation according to the Word of God. And people say, why should the Christians in this world dictate how we run our nation? Because it was founded on the Word of God. Right. Let's get back to our basics. So we need to return. Awake, why sleepest thou, O Lord? Arise, cast us not off forever. In other words, it has been a long time since we had the blessings of God. Lord, forgive us for our sins. We need your blessings. It has been a long time since we have had God's blessings. And we have no one to blame but ourselves. I don't believe anyone who knows anything about the Bible, God's holy word, will say that we are traveling the right road today. We're on the wrong path. We're going further and further from God's word. We need to stop, turn around, and head back in the right direction if we want God to bless this nation again. I tell you, we've had some prayer meetings on Wednesday morning in my office, and we've said we can fix all the problems, not just in the United States of America, but in the entire world, if they would just listen to us. They need Jesus Christ. Problem solved. They won't listen. They don't want to listen. We must return, but we also must repent. You can leave Psalms now and turn to Acts 17:30, please. This will be our last verse for today, for this morning, I should say. Acts 17:30. Says, in the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. To repent. The word repent is metaneo, and it means to think differently. We need to turn from our evil thinking and start thinking according to the Word of God. We need to see sin through the eyes of God. And when we do that, we're going to see things differently. I tell you, when these people say abortion isn't murder, they're wrong. It is. Plain and simple. God calls it murder. We need to call it murder. We don't need to sugarcoat it with some other word. Murder is murder. Again, I'll say, as I've said many times when people ask me, where are all the great leaders? We aborted them. Again, we have no one to blame but ourselves. Will America continue to be the dreamland of the world? I'm going to say that depends on what we do with our sins. If we continue them, we'll become like all the other great nations that have come on the scene and are gone. If we repent of them and turn back to God, God will restore His blessings on us as a nation. Our verse of the week tells us exactly what we need to do. And it tells us exactly what God will do when we do what we need to do. But again, He said, if my people... He didn't say when, my people. He said if. So we, as God's people, we need to pray for America. We need to pray for our nation that we will turn back to God. We need to pray for our elected officials. We need to start thinking clearly and voting according to God's word, not according to what we want. As we come today to celebrate the 4th of July, our nation's birthday, we need to come with grateful hearts. We need to thank God for our nation that He's given to us and for the blessings that He has bestowed upon us. And how about when we turn back the blessings He will bestow upon us? I cannot think of any place in the world that I'd rather live than this great land. Now, I don't have to be happy with the direction we're headed, but I can take a stand for what's right. And I can pray.
We need to do that. We need to be willing to do that. We need to quit being God's people who sit on the sidelines and let things go downhill.
We need to start doing something about it. Satan has attacked. And he's done a great job because we've let him.
He would not have gotten away with what he's gotten away with had we said, we're not going to put up with it. But we sat on the sidelines and watched this nation go downhill fast. And now it's going to take God's people getting on our knees before Almighty God to make this different.
Are we willing to do that? Are we willing to be the people that God has called us to be and follow this word, His word, and not what we think? Let's pray.
Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. And Father, I pray, as we do every single day, that your people would turn from our wicked ways, that we would seek your face, that we would pray, that we'd have a desire to see you hear from heaven, forgive our sin, and heal our land. Father, that's what we need. We need to be praying for our elected officials. We need to be praying before we cast a vote. We need to get some godly people in these elected positions so we can see a turning back to you. But Father, it's going to take your people turning from our sins. We thank you for what you're going to accomplish in the coming days and weeks and months and years, if you allow us to remain here. Father, we need to continue to be about your business. We need to continue to share the gospel with people, because people having that personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ is what's going to change things. And then walking according to your word. I pray again this morning, Father, if there's someone in our midst who has never accepted the free gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, I pray today would be that day. Father, I pray for those of us who have already accepted that free gift, already have that personal relationship with Christ. I pray, Father, that we turn from our wicked ways, that we seek your face, that we realize that we need to repent of our sin. So I pray, Father, as we have a time of invitation, that we'll take advantage of the time that you've afforded us. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you'll stand with me as the piano plays this morning, if you need to come, it's been said many times, and even already this morning, the altar's never closed here. It's always open. God always wants to hear from his people. And he wants to hear from those who have never accepted Christ as Savior. He wants them to come and get saved. Take this time this morning as the piano plays.